Did I see another hand? Drew? Yep.
Thank you. Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund. Obviously, it's we made our strong concerns known about this assessment last year, and unfortunately, those concerns only have continued and increased. You know, if you look at the row adjusted values for this year compared to last, they've increased. Uncertainty in the model has increased, and the problems keep persisting. We raised a number of concerns in last year, and unfortunately, none of them have been addressed. Before I get into some of that, though, I would point out that the SSC, as you know, is a consensus body. You try to operate on consensus. While Dr. Cadron is not here, he's already put in writing that he doesn't believe this assessment should be used for catch advice. Now, technically, he's not here, so I guess you could say you could have a consensus without him, but you'd have a hard time telling one in public that everyone on the SSC actually agrees that this should be used for catch advice when you have someone who clearly in writing said, in no uncertain terms, this assessment cannot be used for catch advice. So you already have one stated opinion on that matter. And frankly, we would agree with that. And there's a number of what's most concerning about this assessment and the way it's being handled is it's not the results. You know, the result, I don't know how many yellowtail are out there. That's not the issue at hand. It's when you have an agency that has specific guidelines and guidance that is given to itself and it doesn't follow them, that's where things become really problematic. And I would remind that while the Georgia Bank Yellowtail Assessment is part of an international process of international memorandum of understanding between the U.S. and Canada, has been made quite clear by the need for the international, the special legislation that was passed a couple years ago to allow flexibility in management. Magnuson still applies to this whole process. U.S. domestic law still applies to this whole process. And so you have to follow all the steps in the track process as you would in any other process that's done domestically. And one of the things that jumps out, you know, National Standard 2 guidance just, you know, revised guidance just came out from the agency. And one of the things it talks about is, alternative scientific points of view should be acknowledged and addressed openly when there's a diversity of scientific thought. You notice in the official track presentation we received, there was no mention of the Peterson tagging study or the scallop survey bycatch dredge design. I understand they were discussed some. Pat mentioned it. But does what happened, I don't know if you, unless you were there at the meeting, and I wasn't able to attend because of the birth of my daughter, does that rise to the level of what we're talking about, the National Standard 2 guidance? Was these alternative models, were they really considered? And while I can't opine upon whether the VPA is better or the Peterson tagging is better, I do know that the Peterson tagging said there's more biomass in that area that they studied, that small subset of the total stock area, than the VPA says exists overall. That obviously raises some red flags when you have one different system saying that a completely different number. So I think that needs to be addressed more than it was discussed. I mean, I would love to see a discussion, okay, why was that not used? What are the problems? I haven't seen any of that in writing or seen it in discussion. That needs to happen. That needs to be openly discussed for you to meet the National Standard Guidance. I mean, that, as I said, I can't tell you the value of one versus the other, but I know the values are different, and that has to be acknowledged. Peer review process. The track is considered a sort of internal peer review process. Fine, okay? But one of the things National Standard 2 guidance talks about, especially for controversial matters, which this clearly falls into that that category, the peer review process has to be independent. The fact is, the track is made up of pretty much most of the people who do the assessment of Georgia's Bank Yellowtail. They did bring in Pat this year and the scientist from Canada, but that I don't think would qualify as an independent peer review process under any other normal circumstance. Normally, someone who has done the modeling, done the assessment, is not part of the peer review. So that raises some red flags here, too. And then emergent science should be considered more thoroughly. It's been stated over and over again that the Mohn's row adjustment is not something that's typically accepted and fully thought out, and especially on the terminal year. It's something that's still a lot of thought about. And that's what we're doing. And I also mentioned the split series Mohn's row adjustment model, which is, seems to be the one being put forth as the basis of catch advice. That's a double correction. The split series was one correction for retrospective that fell apart after a year, and then you're Mohns row adjusting it on top of it. So you're really going to base catch advice on a model that has to be corrected not once, but twice. I mean, what's the standard here? I mean, is a third correction now, okay, well, that's it. We have to correct it three times. I mean, really, you're going to use it for on something that has to be corrected twice to base catch advice on? And, you know, as I said, this is something that's very novel. I don't know of any other model that's corrected twice for a retrospective pattern that does then use for catch advice. And that's something you all have to really consider thoroughly. And then, obviously, this issue of the retrospective pattern is not something that's new. It's been around. And as a result, NIMS convened a working group, some of you who are on it, on what to do about retrospective patterns. And they produced recommendations. Those recommendations aren't being followed. One recommendation, if a model shows a retrospective pattern, then consider alternative models and assumptions. Reasons I asked the questions I did earlier about the track was, I understand the ICES working group tried to look at some other stuff and they didn't find anything, but the track itself didn't look at alternative models and assumptions. And I know Fred has his point of view about whether or not that was in the TOR, and don't need to get in that debate, but that is a clear recommendation of this working group, and it wasn't followed this year. And then it also says, develop objective and consistent criteria for the acceptance of assessments with retrospective patterns. This is something we asked for last year. The council passed a motion saying, please give it to us. Hasn't happened. You still don't have an objective criteria for what is an acceptable assessment and what isn't. And then also, you don't have in front of you a clear path to say, if we reject this, then what? And I think that actually hinders a lot of people from saying, no, we can't use this. That uncertainty of what lies beyond this model really hinders people from saying, okay, well, we should reject it. And that shouldn't be the case. That doesn't have to be the case. We should know, okay, if we can't accept this model, what happens next? And this body needs to figure that out. Because I would argue that a double-corrected model is not a way to move forward, one that's shown this retrospective pattern year after year. And I understand the ICES group, they didn't find any aha moment. Just because there's a model that doesn't seem to work out there doesn't mean the one you have in hand is acceptable. That logic doesn't work. And then the third recommendation is there's a strong retrospective pattern is ground to reject the assessment model. Indeed, it is. And why hasn't that happened? What is the base strong rationale for a model with this strong a retrospective pattern has to be corrected twice? Why has it not been rejected? I have yet to hear a strong rationale for why that clear guidance is being ignored. Because that's where we really get in problems is when you have an agency and a body that's working with the agency ignores its own advice. Then we get into real, real problematic places here. And that's where we are. We have clear guidance laid out that's being ignored through this process if you are to accept this model. And, you know, the model doesn't work. I mean, that's the fact. It's got real problems. And this is hard. And as Chris said, he got a lot of, you know, sympathy from other people. This is a real problem. But that doesn't mean we just accept the model and march forward as nothing's wrong. Thank you.